you. In this paper I will mainly be focusing on the grey dog as a museum object at the Natural History Museum of Denmark. The grey dog has throughout history played several roles within the museum since it first appeared as a living animal within Ole Worm's cabinet of curiosity in the 17th century. I suggest that within his cabinet, the bird as a museum object took part in circulating ideas about the distant and exotic north while creating valuable knowledge about the nature of the area, along with other items collected and displayed in his cabinet. And soon after its extermination in the mid-19th century, the grey dog was turned into an iconic symbol of extinction and has frequently been generated as such in order to evoke ecological awareness and concern about biodiversity. And in the 17th century, the Danish antiquarian Ole Worm, that maybe some of you are familiar with, had a living great auk from the Faroe Islands as a pet in his cabinet of curiosities. In his cabinet, a taxidermy of this peculiar pet was later exhibited with other so-called rare and exotic items that at the time were used to create knowledge about distant places such as the north and to evoke curiosity and wonder among visitors. In contemporary times, visitors can also be filled with wonder and awe when entering Rosamund Wolf Purcell's remarkable installation called All Things Strange and Beautiful. This exhibit recreates Worm's cabinet in a very precise way and is currently exhibited at the Natural History Museum of Denmark. As indicated on a text panel, natural wonders and peculiarities are certain key elements that Worm was concerned with, but it is also evident that his interest and focus was very much directed towards areas of the North Atlantic, such as Iceland, Greenland, and the Faroe Islands. As can be seen when examining Purcell's recreation from the North Atlantic, recreation of Worm's cabinet at the Natural History Museum of Denmark, a number of exotic items from the North Atlantic area were carefully and systematically placed within the cabinet, such as a stuffed great auk specimen from the Faroe Islands, a stuffed Atlantic puffin hanging from the ceiling, and a taxidermy of a small polar bear and a stuffed polar bear head, a kayak, a narwhal skull from Iceland, a whalebone, and Greenlandic animal skin clothing. As you can see there, on the slide, the great auk is there on the fourth shelf. And the collecting and displaying of material things, such as the great auk, was an essential part of the early modern European world order and a mindset which simultaneously strengthened the position of colonial powers and validated the idea of human supremacy over nature. These ideas underpinned the manipulation and tractability of nature and encouraged center-periphery power relations. Similarly, material culture and the circulation of diverse objects also played significant parts in the image-making of the North during the 18th and 19th century. Artifacts collected by Northern travelers were both souvenirs of their travels and evidence of their experiences. There were representations of new information awaiting collection and analysis, curious and material expressions of the gentlemanly curiosity that inspired travel and scholarly inquiry, and material expressions of metropolitan perceptions of northern cultures. These objects acted as both curious novelties and as sources of information. A variety of this kind of souvenir collections were later put on display to present the Far North in ethnographic museums of the British and the Danish empires. It is through such objects, texts, and images that an exotic or even fantastical image of the North has continually sort of been negotiated, narrated, and displayed. The 19th century was before the advent of animal documentaries and color photography, and thus museums were of course crucial venues for the general public to learn about nature, and taxidermy was the primary technology for making creaturely life visible. In the mid-19th century, Iceland was still a part of the Danish kingdom, and according to Newton, it was Danish merchants and collectors who were in the forefront of collecting the last living birds in Iceland in 1821 and 1844. A taxidermy of the bird, which was killed in Iceland in 1821, was owned by Count Frederick Christian Rapen, a Danish collector, traveller, and amateur botanist. And it remained in his family until it was sold at a Sotheby's auction in 1970, and bought, actually, by the Icelandic state. For £9,300, actually. And here we have a photo from this moment. In the 19th century, other natural scientists, such as Alfred Newton and his comrade, John Wally, also became interested in the grey dog and made trips to Iceland to collect grey dog eggs. When Newton and Wally visited Iceland, they were too late, as the bird was already extinct by then. And the duo did, however, manage to interview some of the Icelandic men who participated in the killing of the two last birds. And according to Newton's notes, a hunting trip was made to the island of Eldey on the 3rd of June in 1844 in Satan's weather to capture the birds for the Danish collector and merchant Carl Franz Simpson. These two birds, a male and a female, were the two last living specimens of the grey dog, and they were sold to another Danish merchant in Reykjavik, Christian Hansen, who sold them actually to Möller, a Danish apothecary in Reykjavik, with their bodies and organs, including eyes, stomach, liver, and the heart, ending up in the collection of the Museum of Zoology in at the University of Copenhagen. And here is a photograph of these two hearts. At the museum, the Natural History Museum in Denmark, is also currently a very rare Greenlandic specimen that was hunted and killed in Greenland in 1815 by a Greenlandic hunter in Fiskenese, and delivered to Mr. Heilmann, the director of the Royal Greenlandic Trading Company. In 1842, it was sold then to the director of the Zoological Museum in Copenhagen. And this provenance is, of course, a very sort of clear example of how the bird was, at this point in time, turned into a very valuable commodity and a cultural product and a rare museum object. It can also be seen as a relic of complex colonial relations and 19th century ideologies regarding human-animal relations. This highly valuable museum object is mainly kept actually in the storage room in order just to keep it from sunlight and deterioration. It certainly appears to be quite fragile and delicate, but when discussing the item with the museum staff and professionals, they also describe it as very effective. When students come to visit the museum, they are sometimes allowed to see this item after they have been strolling around the exhibition halls, and then, as described by one member of staff, then they finally say, wow. So according to my informants, this valuable artifact is never presented in the exhibition hall. So in its place, there is a plastic replica, as you can see there on the photograph, that was actually made by Ole Post, who is the former conservator at the Natural History Museum of Denmark. And the replica is displayed as part of an exhibition that's called From the North Pole to the South Pole, which partly emphasizes Arctic animals, climate, and nature. And the manufactured character of this item is quite striking, and somehow it reminded me of a rubber duck, but it cannot be seen maybe properly on the photograph, like the materiality. But the manufactured, in comparison with the sort of the think power of the real thing, which is one of the two specimens in winter plumage that exists in the world, and the only grey dog actually from Greenland, the plastic one sort of undeniably became a bit inane. This large plastic grey dog item displayed as part of the exhibition From the North Pole to the South Pole also encourages thoughts on current human-animal relations and the continuing ecological challenges in relation to climate change and biodiversity loss. And so, together with the leather chair that is placed by the glass cabinet, the replica sort of silently invites the visitor to contemplate a little bit about its meaning. The item shares exhibition space with other taxidermy animals from the North Atlantic area, such as puffins from the Faroe Islands and gigantic walruses from Greenland. And the plastic model is, however, sort of displayed in a quite distinctive way. As shown on the photograph, it has been placed alone in a different type of glass cabinet, but the other animals, to use Poliquin's phrase, are placed two or three together in a row of glass cabinets, which sort of gives the plastic grey dog a rather lonesome aura, but also a bit sort of impressive visual impact. So on a large text panel that is also part of the Precious Things exhibition, but located a little bit strangely in the staircase of the museum, the killing of the last grey dog pair is remembered with the following dark and maybe rather disturbing quote. As I held its neck, its wings stuck out a bit. I grabbed it around the neck, and it flapped its wings. It made no sound. I wrung its neck. And these are the wordings from Sigurður Ísleifsson about his meeting with the last grey dog in 1844. The odd placement of this text panel is in a somewhat liminal space. A white and grey staircase adds a bit chilling layer to the rather sort of morbid narrative, and this quote chosen by the curators of the Precious Things exhibitions places the object within a rather sort of stereotypical maybe narrative and image making of the North as a primitive or exotic space where savages seem to be roaming around killing wild animals with their bare hands. The dimly lit exhibition space and dramatic staging of the mounted bird accompanied by the panel, the text panel with its emphasis on the rather unpleasant details of the killing of the last birds also sort of highlights the symbolic meaning of the great dog as a dark reminder of rather dark ecological matters such as over-exploitation of natural resources and the complete extinction of species. So these museum objects and other taxidermies of the grey dog can be valued as active contributors in current discussions on the emerging biodiversity crisis and other collective ecological challenges as dark reminders of short-term human-centered thinking. They can indeed be activated when it comes to urgent matters of our contemporary post-human, post-anthropocentric times, with the sixth mass extinction underway, the message has become quite urgent. So to echo Strauss, who famously said that animals are quite good to think with, the example of the great dog demonstrates that extinct birds are also quite good to think with. Mutely, they invite museum visitors to mourn over what has been lost, while highlighting the importance of safeguarding what is left.